KFNC,
Mont Bellevue, Houston,
a Gao Media station.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
I don't know if you guys saw this or not, and Nick, I know you. There was something you wanted to get to, too, but I put this on the list today because I've been there and done that, but not to this degree. But there's always those moments in broadcasting when you are interviewing someone that you know nothing about, or you'd like to know more about off the floor. You just know what they do when they're on the floor, and you try and do the icebreaker thing, and then you realize that ice broke a long time ago, and you look really bad doing it. But it happened to ESPN's Kerry Champion this weekend, Friday, I think it was, leading into this weekend's football games. Big Boy, who is a Falcons fan, a lot of you know, B-O-I, right, Trap? They're having a conversation, or they're going to have a conversation, and Kerry decides that she wants to open with, you know, something that breaks the ice, and says, "So, you got a dog named Halle Berry. Is she bad, or is she bougie?" And Big Boy, without hardly reacting, went, "She's dead."
And that's a playoff of the Migos, Bad and Bougie.
Right, but I'm just saying... Yeah. And she was not expecting that answer. And if you could see her face, she was absolutely shocked and felt awful. And just
But then he explained that he also bought a new one.
Yeah, because of the, I mean, I'm getting there. But he said, you know, she said, obviously she's apologetic. She said, "It's awful. I didn't know that. I'm so sorry." He says, "Yeah, but I mean, that was my wife's dog anyway. So I wasn't attached to her like that. So it's okay. And we move on from there." But I mean, we've all been there. I have. And it's not.
It reminds me of that. There was an entertainment reporter in L.A. from a TV station, and he was interviewing Samuel L. Jackson, and he was asking him about a Super Bowl commercial that he was never in.
or he voiced it over, and it was actually Morgan Freeman, I think.
Yeah, and he was like, "No, that's the other black guy." And it was funny. Yeah. He was put on the spot, but hey, man, you got to... I mean, I think we've all been there before.
Yeah, and it's just not a fun situation.
You know, it was funny because we were at the... Matter of fact, it was the year that the Patriots were undefeated and played. Of course, they played the Giants. They played Giants in the Super Bowl and lost. And I was in Miami. No, that wasn't in Miami. That was Arizona. And I remember I come to my seat and my dad is like, it's me and two other actors. And I'll tell you who they were in a minute. And my dad's like, hey, Mr. Jackson. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, "No, you don't have to call me that." And so my pop was like, "All right, then, Sam." I went to go get a blanket. You know what I mean? So yeah, it wasn't that Super Bowl. It was Peyton's Super Bowl.
It was outside.
Yes, it was in Miami. So it was Peyton's Super Bowl.
It was raining.
And it was raining. Yes, it was. And I had no jacket.
Because Prince did the halftime.
I had no jacket. So I went and bought this big old Super Bowl blanket. And so he's like, "No, you don't have to call me that." So I get back to the seat, and my pop is like, "This ain't Samuel L. Jackson." I said, "Hell no, that's Delray Lindo and Michael Williams." I can't remember his middle initial, Bubba Gump. You know what I mean? He was like, "Oh man."
That's
hilarious. And the funny part is Delroy, he was so cool about it. Cause he was like, "You know what? Normally I'd have wanted to fight him or we'd have had a problem because I felt like he was doing it on purpose." You said, but I felt like,
legitimate.
He was legitimate. Like he was little, you know, my pop watched movies, but he don't do stuff like that. Yeah. But that was a working man for 45 years. You
sincerity.
Know what I mean? So it was funny because every time I see Delroy now when I go home and we haven't been in the same place and we laugh about it. But I tell my wife every time now when Delroy Lindo comes on TV or on a movie or something, I look at my wife and be like, "What's up, Sam?
Samuel L.
Mr. Jackson." And we get
That's
great
fantastic. So there you have that. Other things that I noticed, the lady who supposedly ruined Aaron Rodgers' career decided to write a letter handwritten to the team. Basically,
why?
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
You aren't relevant in this locker room.
Olivia Munn thinks she is. And
that's the same reason why Kim K got dumped. Well, Kim K didn't get dumped.
We can go up and down the list. This is the Romo thing with Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
You know, and look, the team came out of the doldrums, so she kind of... They started forgetting about all the stuff that they were blaming her for.
Just leave it alone. And she reminded them why.
Right. This letter right now, Olivia Munn writes to Packer fans, "So proud of this team. They faced a lot of adversity on and off the field, but battled to get this far. Thank you to those of you who encouraged and supported them by choosing to put on only positive energy. It helped them get this far." Again, Why?
Who cares?
And not necessary.
Who cares?
Okay, you're with 12, and 12 is the reason why everybody loves a lot about what they do. So just leave it alone.
Nobody cares. Like you don't help them win games. You might actually make them lose games.
Well, the family situation and that whole dynamic. Nobody,
Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem like the type to not to be around his family, and his family from the looks of it early on doesn't seem like the type to beg for handouts or say, oh, give me.
So this is what I know. Okay, because I know people. I don't know people like you know people, but I know people, and I know people that know the family really, really well.
Okay,
and they tell me that there's definitely a problem. That she definitely is a factor.
Is the root of the
problem.
Is
a factor. I'm not going to say it's a root, but she's a factor in the entire situation, right? But they said that the family is so great that at any time now or somewhere down the road. Where they just say, hey, it's time. Someone says it's time to squash this. The family will take him back with open arms and act like nothing ever happened, which is saying something because obviously and evidently from what you believe and what you hear, a lot has happened. But I've heard everything from the fact that they buy tickets when they want to go see him play, that there is no contact, that he and Olivia have sent back Christmas gifts that they have sent.
That's just rude,
man. It's just petty.
It's petty, but that can't be him because I know for me, Rodgers, he's from Cali. You know what I mean? And I know my daddy is my daddy, when you look at Aaron Rodgers early on in his career, and you look at him when he came out, and you saw his parents, you saw how he looked at his
when they
father.
Waited all that time in the green room all that and all time. That.
You know what I mean? Like that stuff lets me know, like you have a whole, I couldn't imagine not talking to my dad, man, like that. I couldn't imagine not having a conversation with my pop. I couldn't imagine when you got something on your mind. Even right now, after you take a loss, like, imagine with no family, who you going to talk to? Ryan Braun?
Her?
Like, she don't understand what you're going through. Yeah, your parents might understand, but your dad's been such a big fan of yourself. He's like, there is no fan bigger than a father watching
his
boy play.
All these stories come out, and the timing's all wrong sometimes. His dad did an interview that they decided to bust out in the New York Times, I think it was last week. But the fact of the matter is, to your point, I mean, look, family is family, and they're always going to be there. And whether he ends up marrying this girl or not, there's a reason why you are where you are. And a good part of it is the support system you got from the people around you. When you hear guys, you know, even Sam Decker talking about when my family took me to all the practices that they didn't want to take me to.
Yeah, like you wouldn't be where you at without your mom and daddy.
Yeah, so it's just an unfortunate situation. But again, she was front and center back in Green Bay and in the state of Wisconsin when everything was going bad. Now everything's good enough. They finished the year strong. You know, you can put it behind you, and then this letter comes out. And I think it's going to have more negative than it is going to have positive. But it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
I feel sorry for him. You know why? Because, for one. A man should be able to lean on his dad, especially in tough times, at all times. And even his mama, like, it's Lady Bertha. You only get one of those.
Yep. My wife's a big Bachelor fan, and I didn't realize a lot of this until The Bachelor kind of made it an issue, too.
Yeah.
And it also seemed cheesy that the girl was more concerned with, am I going to meet him, and is he going to be around?
I think, you know, one thing is my high school shot put coach, He's one of the executive producers on all them shows.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing he did tell me is they set up a lot of those. They make sure it's certain things that you got to ask. It's certain things that when they in the little confessionals, they got to.
But my wife would call me in the living room and go, you should see this. Like, I'm not watching The Bachelor. She goes, no, but you should see this because it's about your boy.
Yeah.
And when you see the sincerity in which his parents talk, it really hurts your heart. Yeah. And obviously, from his perspective, the little brother's perspective,
and that's
I'm always living in his shadow, and there was a little bitterness you could tell.
But I think his bitterness from the simple fact is he didn't treat him as his little brother. Like I wish to God that I had a little brother.
Like I said, I know people that have been in the middle of all this that said that they've pinpointed the change. They told me a lot of things that have happened. But I think one of the things that was sad is those brothers, there's three of them all together, Aaron and the two other brothers, they always were tight. And two of them were quarterbacks. One of them wasn't, but it didn't matter.
Yeah, but
now all of a sudden it's like there's all these lines and divisions, and that's in any family.
No matter if me, mom, and dad, we beefing over, you know, my choices or whatever, these my brothers. Like, we didn't cover for each other when, in all type of manners, mm-hmm. we got each other's secrets. Mm-hmm. And you not talking to me? Like, that's what's hot in the streets? Like, I don't know, man. I can see why they pinpointed on her. Like, dude, you know, like my daddy always told me, a man who don't run his house might as well burn that mother lover down. Period.
He said mother lover, Nick, so don't worry about that one.
You know what I mean? Might as well.
By the way, the squad car is now somewhere in the midst of the unmarked, is somewhere on the midst of 610 heading towards the loop, and El Jefe has chimed in. Will the roof be open for the Super Bowl?
I think it will be.
I think it won't be.
It should be.
I don't think so either.
I think it'll be
but
closed.
How would you not see the fireworks, though?
Well, it depends. If she and if the rumor is true that Gaga's going through the roof and they have to cut a hole in it, then it's got to be closed.
Why would they cut a hole in it?
So that she can get through.
No, there's a hole already. All you got to do is press the button. It opens up.
And that's a big hole. We're talking about her making some kind of grand entrance through a closed roof. I'm just letting you know, man.
Keep that.
Plus, the NFL's not going to risk anything. Keep that. And if the Texans have anything to say about it so that they don't get pressured to have it open next year, I think it'll be closed.
It's an open roof stadium.
I mean, Travis, it gets down to the crux of why did they spend $50 million extra to have it open when they never have it open, and that's a conversation that we always will go back to and have again and again. It's like the never-ending question because there's no answer for the people that could answer it. All right, we got plenty more show to go. We're about 45 minutes left in the show, and we want to hear from you. If there's something that's on your mind you want to talk about, 713-780-ESPN, hit us up on Twitter. And we are here till 4 to make sure you have the very best in sports and entertainment radio, ESPN 97.5. I'm to the point like
the pyramids of Giza. ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel, Trapp, and Nick till 4. Good show as we continue to roll on until we head out the door. And then we turn it over to the Blitz with Fred and AJ. And, you know, we were talking before the break. And, again, it's personal preference. But Nestor says, you know, I would never turn my back on family. But then I Googled Olivia Munn, and we were talking about the fact that I think she's overrated. She doesn't do anything for me.
I mean, one, I don't want to say it. How do I put this? I'm not a fan of white girls like that, so. But as far as even when I look at her, she's cool.
Mind if I ask you a question on that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just asking a question.
You're asking a question?
Asking a question.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I ain't had a white girl since 2000, so I don't know. I'm
appreciate
just not a fan.
That little bit of personal information we didn't need.
But we needed that information. I want to know this.
That's some pertinent stuff, right or wrong.
I want to know that.
Yeah.
Is that true, though?
Yeah, very true.
Wow.
Yeah.
But at some point, there was a looking mighty fly for a white girl?
No, I had a few, you know, shoot, man. I just, you know, shoot, I was getting my OJ on.
You didn't
on.
Discriminate, you appreciate it?
Yeah, I was just getting my OJ on. You okay. know how it is in Cali, you know what I mean?
You wear gloves?
No gloves.
Well, and thus we have another topic for another day.
I love it.
But no, you know, she's okay. Like, she average, you know what I mean? Like, I hate when they be like, oh, she's beautiful. Like, dude.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know what I mean? Like, you want to see beautiful. Dun, dun, like, I can. I mean, we can go
Travis
beautiful.
Travis Johnson. His hero, Sean Kemp. The reason why, next.
I do kind of hate that because I do feel like when someone is, like, placed against someone of prominence or who's in the public eye, that person immediately looks a lot better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they look at him and they think, oh, that person got money. Or you look at him and say, oh, that person on TV. I can take you right now to Florida State, FAMU's. I can take you to University of Virginia's campus right now and find you 100 girls that look better than Olivia Munn. Easy.
You can go to Ole Miss and do that.
No question. Like, I'm like, man, I...
Now, if you go to Camp Randall, I'm not sure if we could work that out for you. But I think it's possible.
Yeah, possible.
But then again...
Yeah.
I married a California girl for a reason.
I mean, should I tell you the truth, I can go to UCLA and find you 100 that look better than Olivia Munn at UCLA. I go USC.
Oh, UCLA, and look, top to bottom, that campus, everything about it.
I mean, it's cool, boy. I mean, but you know, I don't do the Asian persuasion woman, but they got a lot.
You
got to
go there too now, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, they got a.
Wow, you are just. But I'm just saying, bringing it today, my friend. The heat has been brought in.
But I'm just saying, they got 100 Asian women that look better than Olivia Munn. They got. I'm just not a fan. Like, I think she's okay. She's average. Yeah, she's cool. But I think outside of her doing what other movie? What movie did she do? What movies did she do?
Let's look them up. I'll look them up real quick.
Like outside of her doing some of these movies, like everybody's like, oh, she's sexy, she's hot. No, she's not. She's okay.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. But you know, all these people that are haters that want me to stop talking about the Packers. We were just talking about that being like a sidebar. But
X-Men Ride Along too.
Yeah, she's an X-Men. Well, who was she in X-Men again?
Psylocke, I think.
Yeah, and then Ride Along too, she was the police officer.
Maya Cruz, yep.
Yeah, she's a police officer that helped them out when they went down to Miami.
Magic Mike? I haven't seen that movie,
I won't see that movie.
I haven't either.
I mean, Nick,
apparently
I don't know.
She was in Magic Mike.
But Nick, if you wear them tight clothes like you're talking about, Magic Mike might be right up your alley. You know?
I'm just saying. Man,
I think you're mad because I can pull him off, man.
No, I'm not.
By the way, your inclusion of Magic Johnson's son was classic. That was a good pull right there.
But was it not the truth?
So anyway, we were talking about a lot of things going on from the standpoint of, and you had pointed out that you were looking forward to a Pittsburgh-Atlanta Super Bowl for selfish personal reasons. You didn't get it, but is Houston happy with what they got as a matchup? We started the show by this.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm happy, for one, because every stripper in Atlanta will fill these streets and make a... I'm excited about...
Now, how does your wife feel about that?
My wife knows I go to strip club. She ain't tripping.
And you look at porn on a regular basis.
Yeah, because I'm a perv.
And you're a perv.
Yeah, but my wife loves it because I'm a perv. Like, I try to molest my wife every day.
And that's okay.
Every day. When she gets out of the shower, I try to go grab her cheek cheese, you know. I play with her booty. Like, that's my wife. That's what I'm supposed to do.
This is way too much information on the world and life of Travis Johnson.
But that's my wife. I love her to death. That's why I married her.
Which is the most important thing, right?
That's why I married her. Exactly. There you go. Strip club music. All of them. But, you know, I'm just saying, I'm excited. And I know my friends. I know the other guys that played in the league. They're excited about it, too. The guys who live here in Houston, excited about it. Because it's going to bring back the streets.
You know, the other thing that people have to be aware about, the fact that it's not just about trying to get tickets to the game or these parties. The entire city's going to be on lockdown. I'm hearing all over the place that even like your normal restaurants, like, you know, the restaurants, whether it's, you know.
Steak 48 going to be stupid.
Every place, like if you don't have reservations already placed, you're going to have a really hard time for the next week and a half getting in to all these restaurants. Everything in town's going to be booked. Normally, your normal watering hole, probably most of those are booked with parties and gatherings.
That's why I don't live inside.
This isn't me either, but I'm just saying it's going to be crazy. Man. Not just hotels and game tickets. The entire week, and then with the setup for TV broadcasts and all the different things they're doing, anything in and around the downtown area is going to be just nuts.
Now, you realize what the mall is about to look like, Galleria?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what was it? Was it All-Star Game the last time when the Galleria, they had to shut the Galleria down?
Yep.
Like, because there was too many people inside there. I mean, Club Hobby going to be the place to be. If you single and looking to mingle, go to Club Hobby.
Club Hobby?
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to tell you. Oh, okay.
Hobby Airport.
Oh, the airport. I was going to say, I only know Hobby's the airport.
No, we call it Club Hobby. Because when they have Super Bowl, All-Star, it'd be some lookers in the airports, man. It'd be some real. The last time when All-Star was here in 05 and all them strippers were flying in and out, they literally started shaking. They started shaking wagons in the airport. Like, had music going, boom boxes going. It was the craziest thing I've ever. Like, my homeboy was like, dude, please come back to the airport. I had one homeboy that missed two flights just to hang out in the airport.
So you think Nick could roll through Club Hobby and just be like, hey, you got some time to kill? I'm just asking a question, man.
Yeah, he probably could.
Hobby, sans wearing any kind of skinny jeans or knickers or whatever, right? If he's not wearing something from the Russell Westbrook collection, he'd be fine if he just wanted.
But, you know, some of them new age girls, man, them young girls.
They're digging the Russell Westbrook collection, aren't they?
Yeah, they dig that type of stuff. You know what I mean? I like the old school.
So you don't have to take it back just yet, Nick. There's a chance that you could bust it out if you need to.
No, I'm just saying. I just like the old school. Let me wear baggy clothes, man, and stuff that actually fits.
Now that I'm married, comfort is of the utmost importance.
I've never been a sag my pants stuff. You know, I tell people all the time. I tell these young kids, you know, sagging your pants started in the prison, right? To let people know your booty was ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not that about that life. I like wearing mine right around my waist, where it's comfortable.
You like to be the guiding force behind intern Trey. When are you going to have that conversation with him?
About what, his pants?
Yeah. Because I've been trying. Christmas, I thought he was going to get a belt. I told him he should. Then I thought if he got Christmas money, he should go get one. And then he told me he was exploring the opportunity, but he never did it. And now that you mentioned that, I think because he respects and looks up to you, and he's actually quite terrified of you at times, that I think that you could get this done for us.
Yeah, probably. But Trey's just occupied, though. That's all it is.
I'm sorry?
He's occupied. Like, he's just ill, like BMW, body made wrong. So it's kind of hard getting him a belt because he might have like a, you know what I mean? Like, he just might, his belt might not go to a certain type of way. You know what I mean? But we can get him a belt. I'll buy him a belt. That ain't nothing.
I told him, look, man, we're in the Galleria area. I told him whether he wants to go TJ Maxx, Marshalls, or if he wants to head right into the four floors to the fine shopping establishments. One way or another, we just got to get him a belt.
Yeah.
Because the world in is a very large place, but the viewing community does not need to see what he's displaying.
I want to get him a new fitted hat like that actually that doesn't crumble.
As long as it's the Sonics or the Cowboys, he'd probably consider it.
It'll be a struggle because of his hair. You can't get a fitted hat when you have.
Yeah, you can't.
When I had dreadlocks, there's a lot of people that get the fitted hats and they tuck the speakers in. They tuck their ears inside the hat.
Well, I just wonder how it would fit if he, you know, cut his hair, then grew it back, and then cut it.
No, when I had locks, I was at 8.5 in hat size.
Okay.
Then I went.
That's when Barry Warner called you the poodle?
No, but that's when I had the baby locks. Oh. It was still ish locks at the time.
I heard Trey was a close runner-up for the Tiki Barber commercial. They were going to actually have Tiki come running out, and
he'd
be the first dome piece that they shaved.
That would have been hilarious.
If he's still here, we'll try and figure that out, although Richard somewhere in America will be very upset if we bring Trey back on. Okay, so we've got a half hour more to go in the show. Again, props to our man Keenan McCardell, who is now the wide receivers coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, but hopefully he'll at least bless us with his presence one more time before he goes. We would love to get to some things that you want to talk about. If there's something that we haven't gotten to yet, including Travis Johnson's opinion on whether or not the first quarterback off the board in this year's NFL draft should be or should not be Deshaun Watson. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Trap, and Nick, as we continue to roll on a Monday. Now that we know the two teams participating in this year's Super Bowl in Houston, Texas, it is the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots. How do you feel about that? You good with that? You got the two hottest teams, probably pound for pound, the two best teams in each conference. With the MVP on one side, with a former MVP and maybe the greatest of all time on the other.
I got something to throw out there, Joe.
Throw it.
Now, I don't advocate for anybody getting hurt.
No.
But I say, God forbid that the MVP candidate, Matty Ice, goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Does the Houston Texans fans realize that potentially Matt Schaub could lead the Atlanta Falcons to a Super Bowl title?
Say that again, please, so that they can digest it.
Let that simmer down. Let that simmer on you for a second. God forbid anybody gets hurt in this game.
Explain why. If Matty Ice
goes down,
the next man up
is Matt Schaub. And Matt Schaub could potentially, and he has to play a great game, of course, but Matty Ice could potentially, I mean, Matt Schaub, the great number 8, could potentially lead the Atlanta Falcons to a Super Bowl championship. How poetic would that be?
Wow. Like, you made my head spin there for a second, and I'm sure people around town listening just pulled off the side of the road.
I smiled. Like, I saw Shabby's wife post a picture of him and all that stuff on Instagram this morning. And it just hit me, like, when I'm seeing all of the, you know, all the promotion for the game, they show a picture of Matty Ice, they show a picture of Tom Brady. I said, I wish I had some Photoshop skills, because I would put Matt Schaub on the other side of Tom Brady and say, what if? And just say, this potentially, if it happens,
can I just tell you right now? Can I just tell you right now? It's already in the works. Because El Jefe, within the next 15 minutes, almost guaranteed, will tweet you with that exact request.
He is that good.
He can do that. He has some skills.
I'm telling you, because I'm sitting there like, this could possibly happen.
Yeah.
And if it does and he wins, then what? Not then what for Matt Schaub, but how that would that
well,
would
you
be
talk
the part
about riding
be,
off into the sunset, because he's on the downside of his career anyway.
But he can play forever.
But to ride out, yeah, but if he would so desire to ride out, what better script than coming back to the place where, and again, I had to remind the interns today again, you forget, because they're like, why would you ever, what a ridiculous thing to do would be trading to get someone's backup, and then that fails miserably every time. I go, you're forgetting Matt Schaub gave you six solid years. Yeah. So don't think it always fails.
At one point, Matt Schaub was arguably at the top for one of the best quarterbacks, top five quarterbacks in the league at the time when he's putting up 4,000 yards.
Yeah, these kids forget this stuff, right? So that's the thing. And if you're Matt Schaub to ride off into the sunset, if you would somehow lead your team to victory in Houston, Texas.
And the listeners, we're just hypothetically speaking now.
Right, that's what we do.
But I'm just saying, it's a possibility. It could possibly happen. And if it did, I think nobody would be more geeked than me, because I think I would die laughing.
They're already coming in.
I would die laughing with, what did it say? Sorry.
Slim Medina has a picture of Schaub in a Falcons uniform that says, "Hey, Texans fans, I made it to the Super Bowl before all of you."
True statement.
Very true statement, right?
But it seems like everybody leaves here and always gets good somewhere else.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's...
It's boy, coming.
I can only imagine what Monday after is going to be like during the 1 to 4 hour Travis and Joel.
Oh, well, you'll have a chair for it.
Yeah. Like I can only imagine.
Goodness.
If that goes down, how it would turn out.
All right.
Out.
Well, Brian's been holding a long time. He's down in Beaumont. He has a question about watching the Super Bowl. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Brian?
Oh, good, man. What's going on?
Not much, man. Great show today, guys. Great show.
Appreciate it.
Couple quick questions, man. Y'all were talking about earlier the cap space with the NFL teams. Mm-hmm. I know this is not going to be a very popular opinion, but I'm a Tennessee Titans fan, and just wanted to see. I don't know what list you're looking at, but I wanted to see what kind of cap space we had for the year.
I can tell you this. They got a lot, and I can also tell you another thing, and that is that The Texans fans are worried about A.J. Bouye. The mm-hmm. Tennessee Titans should be the first team that they worry about in terms of where he could end up, because they have money and they have a need, and you could see him lining up against the Houston Texans next year.
Yeah, this year, Titans were, I think, third or fourth. I mean, Titans were third right in front of the Patriots. Now I pull it up.
Yeah, I knew we had –
y'all got six, y'all, had six, y'all was $66 million under the cap. Yeah. Wow.
Okay, so here it is. So as they rank, you have the fourth most amount of money in the league coming up.
Wow.
Yep, at 72.3.
Yeah, so my list is a little bit off.
Yeah, for this coming season, 72.3. So
you see, that kind of puts us in the same boat as Tampa Bay, you know, with a good young quarterback, good mm-hmm. young core.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two good running backs. Look, you guys need receivers.
With a lot of money to spend.
Need receivers, right. Need a defensive back. But look, there's some things that could be picked up that could really do some damage.
I think for Tennessee to get back to where they're supposed to do, I think, yeah, you get a receiver. But I think Tennessee, if you know, quote me if I'm wrong, but when they were – correct me if I'm wrong, but when they were good and mm-hmm. always threatening, mm-hmm. it came from the defense.
I was going to say Javon Kearse.
When they had Freak, when they had Robert, when they had Big Haynesworth, when they had Keith Bullock, when they had
Bullock was in the linebacker, yeah, Albert Haynesworth was the D line.
You
know,
when they had Kevin Carter, when you go back and think about what made them great at the time,
no doubt.
And of course, yeah, you had the great Steve Dearman
and Eddie George.
But I mean, you got to think about first and foremost, that defense was awesome.
No doubt.
But that defense was awesome.
Sure.
The defense was awesome, but the thing is, they were also fueled by, they had a pretty good offensive line with Bruce Matthews, with what's my boy used to wear number
you always do this.
Robert, he was played left tackle after played left tackle. Brad Hopkins.
Brad Hopkins was here.
Yeah,
he made the move.
Yeah, Brad Hopkins. You had all those guys, man. They
you know what
awesome.
I just noticed? I was looking at this. So the Texans are 26th, right? The rest of the AFC South is all in the top 10.
Of undersalary cap
for cap space. Tennessee's at 4, Jacksonville's at 6, Indy's at 9. So the other three teams in your division have got a whole lot of dough to spend.
The only difference is in the past we haven't been quick. Ownership has not been quick to shell out much money. And I was actually driving when you were talking about this earlier, but you were saying something about they're going to be forced to spend 95% of the cap money, correct?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing that they've adopted from the NBA. Remember, now, the Sixers, when they were bad for all those years with Sam Hinkie, their big thing was that they're going to try and save as much money as possible while they're sucking so that they can not only get draft picks, but then they can save a whole bunch of money. And the league stepped in and they made that rule, which states that you either pay the players that you have on your roster that year within a certain degree of the actual max cap, or you pay it to the players on your roster.
From the Clippers?
No, I'm talking about the Sixers.
Oh, Sixers.
The Sixers were so bad, and they were doing that, and they basically said, look, there's a minimum. There's a minimum cap, and if you don't reach that minimum cap, everything that you are under goes to the players on your current roster as a bonus, and it doesn't count against the cap.
That's
big. Well, guys, listen, I appreciate it, man. I got one more quick question for you. We're coming to Houston. Me and some of my boys are coming to Houston for the Super Bowl. We're just going to go tailgating.
Yep.
But I was wondering if y'all had a place recommended where we can go kind of similar, kind of close to the stadium to where we could chill and watch the game. Or is
that Here's the thing, Brian, like I was saying with restaurants and everything else. I mean, if you're tailgating, and I don't know how they're doing that, because I know the NFL normally, like when I went to the one in Dallas, this is the last one I was at, they actually block off the entire block around the building, and just to get on the premises, you have to go through security, and there wasn't any tailgating that I can recall. And of course, that was during a snowstorm in Dallas. But I don't know. I know Texans fans love to tailgate, but I don't know if the NFL is going to come in there and say there's no tailgating because it is such a monstrous event, or they're going to have a way to do that. But just like with restaurants and everything else filling up, you got to call ahead, because no matter if it's a sports bar or even everybody's going to be jammed.
Well, I know a lot of, because, you know, I'm a judge for the NFL barbecue cook-off, but I know one of my credentials that I got is for, speaking of tailgate, is for the actual tailgate where they have, I think...
They have screen set up, right?
No, not the screen set up. No, these guys paid $5,500 a ticket, and I think it's like...
I don't think 800 Brian people and his boys are going to pay.
But no, I'm just saying that. So that, no, I'm just technically you for how they're doing for the rich and rich folks, how they're doing the tailgate.
Oh, and Robin Leach for the lifestyles of the rich and famous.
But I don't know about the tailgate, but around the stadium, I mean, Papado's, man. You walk in Papado's, you get...
But I'm saying, because it's so
close
to the stadium.
But there's no reservations at Papado's. If he gets there, but if he gets there early,
jammed. And if they're going to tailgate first and then try and watch the game.
But no,
I would check. You know what I would do too, Brian, before we get to a break? Go onto the NFL websites and the NFL experience. And figure, see you on site. They might have,
it might have a spot,
tent with some.
But I think if you get there early enough, and if you're there in the morning time, ain't nobody popping on in the morning like that. When you get there in the morning time, you get some drinks in, you get there the right time, you might be able to get a seat at the bar and watch the game.
Okay, so there you go. We've got our tidbits to throw in, and we've got more to get to. We've got one segment left to go before we turn it over to Fred and AJ, and we're having a pretty good show. So please be a part of it if you'd like. 713-780-ESPN. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, you know how they always say time flies when you're having fun? Well, it's soaring away today because we are having some fun and rolling through a whole bunch of stuff. I had teased a while back, Travis Johnson, that I wanted to get your opinion on the quarterbacks in the draft. Nick, you were talking, and chime in, please, about the fact that there is a story out there and a mock draft in which they have the Texans taking a quarterback in the first round of the draft. Nicholas, I believe you said it was Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, so the mock draft that Daniel Jeremiah did, Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network, and he basically says, you know, the chances of Deshaun Watson still being on the board at pick number 25 would probably be small, but if he did happen to be on the board, then he expects the Texans to scoop him up. So I figured Trap had an opinion on that.
Well, you think that would Trap
Deshaun Watson
in the first round? They're gonna go it on a quarterback.
I think I'm gonna keep my opinion to myself. Well, this my deep opinion to myself. But you know what? I think I don't think they're gonna take a quarterback. I think because for one, knowing Bob McNair, he's not gonna spend all this money on a guy and just to have to spend another, just to spend more money on another guy. I mean, yeah, in the first round, I think what pick do we have?
Pick 20.
20 something. I mean, in this mock draft, it's 25.
Yeah. Well, then they have
so
25.
That's sound about right. 25. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's not going to cost him an arm and a leg, but I don't see him doing that unless he just for sure knows, you know, what's going to happen. Do I think Deshaun Watson is worth it? Yeah, I do. I think he's, you know, being a guy who's proven himself, 4-year guy, shown what he can do, played the highest level. I think it's a possibility, but I just don't see the Texans doing it. To be honest, I just don't see them doing it. Because if that was the case, then a couple years ago, you would have took the quarterback out of UCLA. You know what I mean?
Brett Hundley,
who's with Green Bay. If that was a possibility, or you could have took Derek Carr a few years ago. I just think right now, especially having a guy under contract, it's just not going to happen.
It's kind of interesting only because now Clowney has kind of proved himself, but before, when we were talking about the draft going into the Clowney draft, a lot of people were making the argument they should not draft Clowney, but go for a quarterback. And now Clowney has proven himself.
But even
Travis, let me take it a step further because that's what I said before the break. I want your take before we run out of time. Is Deshaun Watson the best quarterback in this draft?
Yes.
In front of Trubisky?
No question.
Because in the same draft that Nick's speaking of.
Yeah, they got Trubisky going in the top five.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, but I think as far as
going to San Francisco.
I think as far as going, because Trubisky, I think he has a lot of upside. And, of course, they're like, oh, he plays, you know, he's pro style, plays in this system.
They had Deshaun Kizer at 6 going to the Jets.
Yeah, but I just think showing what this kid has shown the moxie he's shown the accuracy and shown the maturity.
Now, the knock on Watson is he's got the size, he's got the athleticism, he's got the arm, but the accuracy is what's being questioned, and then just the speed is going to go increase when you go to the NFL to the next level. Because I'm with you on the fact that he's shown poise,
it's the same stuff they bring up with every black quarterback. They want to bring in, they say, oh, his accuracy, oh, he's this, and they question this, they question that. They've been doing it to black quarterbacks from the time that we had coming up. At the end of the day, they tried to do the same thing with Jameis Winston. Oh, he's another DeMarcus Russell. You know what I mean? Like, DeMarcus Russell, like, for real?
Are you sold on the kid from Notre Dame, by the way?
Which one?
Deshaun Kizer?
I'm not sold on, I mean, the thing is, I'm not sold on any of them. I'm not Notre Dame quarterback.
It's just not a strong quarterback draft.
I don't think that's not just it. I just don't trust him with your boy Brian Kelly. I think he destroyed them kids.
Why is he my boy?
I think he just mentally destroyed those kids to the point where they were so with Malik Zaire and Deshaun Kizer.
Well, he rolled through a lot of quarterbacks.
And then the guy we had at Florida State for a little bit, they transferred there afterwards.
Golson.
I think he just destroyed them guys' confidence. Basically, he did what Spurrier used to do to his Florida quarterbacks.
Florida quarterback,
yeah. He rolled them in, rolled them out, and if they didn't do exactly what he said, they'd get them. I'm not sold on him because I think his confidence is shot. Not because I don't think he's a good enough athlete, but I think his confidence is shot.
So basically, you're saying that Steve Spurrier started Rawhide. Roll them in, get them out. Roll them in, yeah. Get them up. Rawhide. So, in just looking at the rest of this, tell you what, if the Cleveland Browns, Travis, could end up with the number one pick taking Myles Garrett of A&M, right, and coming back on the rebound at 12 and getting your boy Dalvin Cook, that's a pretty damn good first round.
Yeah, no question. I think I think with them getting with Dalvin, I think that's a very good possibility. But what pick do they have?
So Cleveland has 1 and 12. Now the rumor is.
So you think Cleveland is going to take him at 12?
That's what this guy's projecting.
I can see that. I mean, but the problem is
they got Fournette going at 8 to Carolina.
I think Dalvin's a better back than Fournette.
I know you've said that. But I'm just saying, from a running back position, the fact that those two guys that carry all those accolades and talent and potential, and Dalvin's going to slide to 12, if you're Cleveland and you can end it up with Myles Garrett and Dalvin Cook, That's a pretty big upgrade in a hurry for a Cleveland Brown team that obviously needs to make positive change.
To tell you the truth, they don't really need a – the Cleveland Browns' problem ain't their running back.
I'd agree with that.
Isaiah Crowell's a dang good running back. Their problem is their offensive line inconsistencies. So, to be honest, I see Dalvin going to 8 to Carolina before I see Fournette going there. And for 2, I mean, I think the only positive part about it, the reason why you might take him there, is because you know what he's done with no offensive line at Florida State.
That's interesting because, like you said, besides Joe Thomas, the Browns have always struggled in recent history with a complete offensive line. When they had Mack at center and they let him get away, I mean, they've had a few here and there pick and choose, but it's been a picket fence. It has never been a complete unit. And when you look at what they did last year, even with Terrell Pryor at receiver, I mean, they had some talent. It's just, I mean, it starts and ends just like the Texans know. Their quarterback situation has been a joke and a mess, too. They got to get that right. So, I mean, if they're going with those two picks in the first round, are they telling you that they have other options at quarterback? Because I don't see RG3 back.
I think if he's healthy, you got to bring him back.
Wow.
You got to bring him
back.
It'll
be interesting to see.
I think if he's healthy, you have to bring him back.
I got a quick question for you. I know not to interrupt, but I know we're going to break.
Please do.
We're going to break. We're going to be over.
Deshaun Watson, apparently there was a report out there that the Browns asked him to play and participate in the Senior Bowl, and he denied. I mean, we talked about this before.
He declined?
He denied it. He declined it.
And not just that, but the Browns have denied it as well. The Browns have denied it. They made that rumor. I think that's what they said. He said it wasn't true.
Is it like the NBA trap? If you know that you are going to be drafted a certain way. That,
but I don't think because I pulled out a Senior Bowl. You know you're going to be drafted a certain way. But at the same time, it's why does Deshaun Watson – I think it's funny because, like, why does Deshaun Watson got to go play the Senior Bowl? For what else does he have to prove? Mm-hmm. The guy's played in
– He won the national championship.
Won the national championship by himself. Took his team to the national championship game the year before. Mm-hmm. Took his team to 2 previous BCS games before that. So it's like, what else do you – what? Why do you need to see me more? Like, what is this film going to do for you, especially when you look at Alabama and say Alabama's team from top to bottom is NFL ready?
By the way, in case you were wondering, in this same mock draft, the Miami Dolphins at 22 taking T.J. Watt, the younger brother of J.J. Watt. And again, I keep telling you guys, and I watched him play. He's only played 1 year on defense at Wisconsin. To get that kid into the first round – based on potential and pedigree,
that's amazing to me.
That is absolutely amazing to me. All right, good show for a Monday. As we continue to roll through, Trapp will be back on Friday. We'll see if we can have Keenan McCardell for at least one more appearance on Wednesday, and then, of course, our normal living room get-together on Fridays. But Barry, it will be back in the saddle Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So we'll continue to roll through the week and then get ready for Radio Row the following week. We love you to be a part of the show. So please always be a part of the show, whether you tweet us, text us, or call us. And stay tuned for the Blitz. They're next. Fred and AJ coming up with more great stuff right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.